Peace to all of you who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. We meditate this morning on His words, the words of our Lord Jesus, the Great Commission. Judging from the answers that I receive when I ask the people what the church's main job should be, they usually say teaching morals. Very few ever mention preaching Christ crucified and risen. This is what Jesus said. We take our marching orders from the Lord Himself. Matthew 28, here again, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to literally treasure or guard everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of Christ crucified and risen, the great commissioner of the church, dear fellow disciples of our Lord Jesus, and especially you, dear Zach, our confirmand, it's time to get out on the water. If there could be a mantra for Minnesota this time of year, that would be it, wouldn't it? It's time to get out on the water. Everybody in Minnesota seems like they're thinking of that. And I think if you would take a poll of all the eighth graders, high school students, and college students that had to go to a graduation ceremony and ask them if they'd rather be there in their cap and gown or out on the water, there's quite a few that would say, "Skip the ceremony. Give me the boat." What good is a rod and reel if you're not out there on the water catching fish? What good is a shiny new boat all gassed up and ready to go if it's still tied up at the dock? It's time to get out on the water. Except by the end of the summer, the fun, in some cases, will have turned to tragedy. There will be the high winds and the waves. There will be the abuse of alcohol and speed. There will be ignorance and lack of skill. There will be missing minds and missing life jackets, all combining to make missing family members, permanent loss of life. The wild pursuit of human passion isn't always sinful in and of itself. So often we're just enjoying the wonders of God's creation, what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have provided for us. But so much of life comes down to priorities. And the mad pursuit of human passion is a priority, but an empty one. Finally, nothing counts except, how do you stand before God? Priorities have been the part of the last 2 years for you, Zach. High priority in all these lessons, all this work. If there's one thing I hope that you will remember today and forever, it's that the Lord has a key priority for your life and mine, for all of us as disciples of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be fully confirmed disciples, solid in our faith, today and forever. Be a fully confirmed disciple of Christ. If your family gathering is like most family gatherings, many are just here because they love you, some just out of politeness, and some, let's be blunt, would have some questions about why a young man like you would devote 2 years to studying the Bible and a book called Luther's Small Catechism? Who's this Luther guy anyway? You can almost hear, you can almost see the cartoon bubble, right? Catechism? The small one? You mean there's a bigger one than that? Luther, writing a catechism, was doing what church leaders and pastors had done for centuries. Luther's small catechism in the 1500s. But if you ask who was Luther, you better start with the words of our Lord Jesus and see what he's not. Because there's a clue that jumps right off the page here in Christ's Great Commission. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." What Luther is not has been part of your lessons, Zach, and for all of us as Lutherans. Luther could not live a perfect life in your place, the life of holiness that God demanded. Only Jesus Christ could do that, God's own Son. If Luther died for his sins, he would have to suffer forever in hell, and he knew it. Because the only one who could die an innocent death that would count for us all is the God-man Jesus Christ, whose holy, precious blood, the Bible says, counts for all. Luther couldn't raise himself from the dead, but Jesus Christ did. Rose on the third day as he had promised, and by taking life for himself, conquered sin, death, and hell for us too. And we've learned, according to God's word, that Christ gave us the full benefit of his death and resurrection when he had us baptized in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christ's victory is our victory. And Zach, with the memory that God has given you, I think I could probably have you step up here, and without much trouble at all, you could summarize the first lesson that we had in both of these 2 years. What is Luther's small catechism? Well, it's only really the first 19 pages of this book. When we say small, we mean small. It goes all the way through the table of duties. It has in it the Ten Commandments that tell us about our sins and the wrath of God. It has the Lord's Prayer. Well, first the Creed, which tells us about how God created us, how He redeemed us, how He sanctifies us by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the good news in the Creed. How we pray to God in the Lord's Prayer and what that means. The use of holy baptism, that holy sacrament that washes our sins away. The use of the keys and confession, which we worked at today. And then the sacrament of Holy Communion. 6 chief parts. An outline that was there centuries before Martin Luther came along. But the rest of this book, and all these Bible passages, Zach could tell you. Because we don't have another pope. We don't have Luther as someone to tell us what we have to believe and teach. We have the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and the question in our catechism classes is, was Luther right? If Luther is right, then he better agree with what the Bible says. And a catechism asks the question, shows the passages, gives the answer that Christ gave. So that we don't have to be fooled by the devil's lie that has so gotten into American religion today that everybody just has a different interpretation. If you say that, you've not studied it. Check out what they say. Put them all to the test. See if they say what the Bible says. Because you'll find that in most churches, either they'll say the Pope has the final authority, whether or not he believes with the Bible, it's tradition first. Or they'll be like so many Protestants that say, like Zwingli did in Switzerland, you have to understand it or you don't believe it. So if you can't understand how a baby can believe, you just deny it. If you can't understand how this is my body, this is my blood, you just deny it. Say something else. Luther said, well, say what God says. Whether we can understand it or not, the Scripture is the authority. And that catechism demonstrates that. So, the Great Commission of Jesus Christ is the marching orders. The only thing that made Luther right was when he agreed with Scripture. And when he didn't, we point that out too, because he had to learn from Scripture. Jesus, the Great Commissioner, said to the 11 disciples when he went to Galilee, to that mountain where he had told them to go, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." They worshipped him, but if the Lord Jesus was here, and looking at all of us, looking into our heads and hearts, he would be seeing what he saw with his disciples. He said, some doubted. It's human. It's natural. We doubt. We have fears. Deep in the night when our conscience bothers us, when we wonder if God is still on our side, if he really cares, so much of the time that we spent these past 2 years was to try to comfort you and strengthen you in your faith so that you know that God is not just talking nice. He points out in love our sins, including this sin of doubt. so that we can realize God doesn't want us to doubt. The same Lord God who tells us our sins are forgiven sent His Apostle James in his epistle where he writes this. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So we begin our study day by day and week by week with prayer. Grant us, O Lord, your wisdom. The Lord's promise through James is, when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Doubt is sin. And we need to confess that as we come back to the Lord. And there's a beautiful example that we heard about several times in several lessons. That man who had a demon-possessed boy who kept getting thrown into the fire by the demon. And he said to Jesus, "If you can help me, heal my son." And Jesus said, "If I can, all things are possible for those who believe." And remember how the man cried out in that beautiful prayer, "Lord, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." It's no surprise to God that we doubt, no surprise to Jesus. He had real disciples. What's the surprise? Is the gentle, kind, loving way he sweeps all the doubts away. To be a fully confirmed disciple of Jesus, to trust his authority above man's authority, above your own opinion, is a miracle of God's grace. He starts it with baptism, he strengthens it with the Word, and he will continue to strengthen it with his Holy Supper, for which you've been preparing these 2 years. Because as I've said again and again, our life as Christians is a matter of two preparations. Preparing for the Holy Supper, which prepares us to meet our Maker. We will all someday stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And when all the boats have stopped, and all the lines are out of the water, nothing else will count except this. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. The Lord wants us to know. He wants everyone to trust His authority as the God-man, to be a fully confirmed disciple of Christ. And so He gives us our marching orders under His own authority. He wants us to have a clear and certain direction in our life. It seems to me that if you could take the life of most people, it would be kind of like watching a jet ski on a lake. Think about it. If you were controlling a spy satellite that had those cameras that could get right down in the detail on that lake, and you were cataloging moment by moment, hour by hour, where that guy was on that jet ski. He'd be at point A, then he'd be over here at point B, and then he'd go C, D, E, and F. He'd be all over the lake. You know, here he picked up a passenger, and here he ran out of gas, and here he hit a wave and got a mouthful of water. That's life for so many people. Lots of fun in the sun, but when the day is done, nothing much accomplished. It's a life of futility. And those that finally see that can either despair or ignore it or find Jesus Christ. He wants to find all of us, Zach, and He wants you to be the one to find them. Because the marching orders our Lord gives to the church by the authority as God's own Son is this. Literally, therefore, while going, disciple all ethnic groups. This is how it is in the Greek original that the Lord has given us as the Holy Spirit inspired it. It's a continuous thing. Disciple all ethnic groups, not some nation on a map with borders where you go there and you go over there and you go over there, but we, the ethnic groups, are all over the world and in our neighborhoods. Christ is so intent on this that He actually sent His apostles up into, can you believe it, up north? Where those Anglos lived? Those fair-skinned Europeans of German, Swedish, Norwegian descent? He didn't show favoritism. He wasn't prejudiced in His apostles. He didn't tell the dark-skinned people to withhold it from those of us who struggle to get a tan. He sent the apostles with the message of Christ crucified to all the ethnic groups, including those warlike Germans. He got through with this wonderful message that disciples all ethnic groups two ways, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to literally guard and treasure everything I've commanded you, everything I've given you in this wonderful treasure book of my holy word. If there's one thing that we want to pass on to our children by word and example, it's that this word is our greatest treasure. It is our link to God. It shows us our sins and the wrath of God. It warns us about what's coming. But only to prepare the way for this awesome good news that Christ died for all, lived the perfect life in your place and mine, died the death we could not die, suffered under God's wrath, and by His blood and by His life gives us new life by faith, worked in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to guard and keep everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you always, literally, to the very end, the goal of the age. I am with you all the days. Isn't that a wonderful comfort when you're confirmed on this day, and then tomorrow comes and the day after it and the day after it, and God wants you to promise to be faithful even unto death? How will you do that unless the Lord is with you day by day by day? But that's His promise. I am with you all the days, every single day, all through this life until the last day, and then that eternal day, I will be with you too. The Lord's own promise confirms us as disciples who disciple all ethnic groups. The Lord does not want you to be like someone on a jet ski going here, there, and everywhere with no purpose in your life. Zach, these are God's marching orders for your life. You have a job to do. However the Lord leads you to do it, wherever He leads you in your life, to disciple everyone with whom you come in contact by sharing with them the bad news of our sins, God's law, and the good news of our Savior, God's gospel. And that's your life. That's a purpose-driven life in the Lord's purpose, and not just human opinion. Sometimes you look at the way things are going on in life and you feel like you're looking at a hockey rink and it's not just one puck out there with everybody after it, but they're flying all over the place. Whether it's hockey or soccer, isn't it a fact it doesn't matter how you move that puck on the ice or the ball on the field? All that matters in the end is not how you handle it, but whether or not you put the ball or the puck in the goal. It all comes down to that focus on the goal. And this Greek original word here says the goal of all the ages, when all these hockey pucks quit flying and all the soccer balls quit flying all over the field, and finally it comes down to that one goal. And every single human being that ever lived or will live yet will stand before Almighty God and give an accounting. The books that are open to all. If you believe in Jesus as your Savior, your name is written in the book of life. And you don't have to worry about the other books, because the Lord has promised never to remember our sins. They're all washed away by Christ's blood. And all that's in those other books are the good things that you've done by faith in Jesus. And He wants us to do by faith in Jesus. When the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, "By grace you are saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." In the very next verse, he said something we Lutherans tend to forget. "For you are God's workmanship. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." James echoed the same thing in his epistle. Faith without works is dead. We don't choose our own works. God gives us the work to do, to share His name by word and deed. You know the goalie, Jesus Christ. Jesus in that goal will not let anything through that's not done by faith, for without faith it is impossible to please God. No good works that we might choose will go in that goal. They just fly all over the rink like a puck gone wild. But everything a Christian does, that goalie, Jesus Christ, with the super speed of God, reaches out and grabs sometimes wild shots. He pulls them in and flips them in the goal. Because with Jesus Christ and His righteousness, you can't miss. And when the last day comes and we all stand at the end zone and the Lord takes an accounting, all those who rejected Jesus Christ as God's own Son will have no score, nothing in the goal. They chose to reject Him by unbelief. They'll have their will. God will say to them for eternity, "Your will be done." But all that's left is the devil and the place prepared for him and his angels. That's eternal damnation. But all those who put their faith in Jesus scored by faith in Jesus. It's all His work. It's His work in us. That's an eternal victory. That's a championship. And you know how Minnesotans love to celebrate a championship. God make us all that kind of champion, because what I'm hoping, Zach, is what you've learned, and learned well, you will carry to every friend you have, and all your enemies too, to every relative, everyone you meet along the way, so that someday when we stand at that end zone, there will be many there standing smiling joyfully because God used you as His confirmed disciple to share law and gospel, sin and grace, the only thing that counts. And for all eternity, they will bless the name of Jesus because God used you with the purpose of a confirmed disciple. And just think what Jesus would do if everybody here would take that message to everybody you know. Be a fully confirmed disciple of Christ. Amen.